All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe it, say a loud amen.
Amen.
All right, let's continue where we stopped. There was a scripture we read last time, which was kind of long, but I said that when I finished reading it, I just said it's likely we won't be able to get to the reason why I read it. So let's get back there again today. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's just start from 1. Again, I will just skip here and there so as to save time. All right, just jump to the things that are most relevant. He said, all the commandments that I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that it might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna. What was the reason? He said that you might understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything or every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. He said in verse 5, he said, thus you are to know in your heart that the Lord your God was disciplining you as a man disciplines his son. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. Now this is where actually I want to go. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Everybody say good land.
Good
land. He said a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. It says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. And I said other things to them from verse 11, which we will not read now. But let's just read a bit of it. And I said, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, all right, by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, now that's why I decided to read it. When you have eaten and are satisfied, and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and gold multiply, and all that you have multiplies. Now these things, when they happen, your heart may become, we're saying in verse 14, that then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He said, they led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions, thirsty ground, where there was no water. He brought water for you out of the rock of flint. Now, let me just stop there, all right? The thing I want us to note, I've already read it. The Lord is good. Remember last time I explained something that life, we are looking at it in two stages. I said the first stage is the stage of what? Occupation, I said the last time. And there you see, the second stage is that stage of the coming of the Lord. We said it parallels what we discussed earlier, that some time ago on radio, I talked about the different stages of life, all right? And the last stage, I said, is the season of multiplication and dominion, something like that. So this time around, we're looking at just in two broad phases. The first one, I said, is a stage of occupation, whereas the second one is a stage in which the Lord will come back. And the reason why we said it like that is because of what we read from the book of Luke chapter 19. Let's just quickly read that just to bring everybody up to speed on it. All right, from verse 12. It said, no man went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. He called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this. King James says, occupy until I come. All right, do business with this until I come. And then if you jump down, when he returned, you see in verse 15, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money to be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, master, your mina has made 10 more. All right, 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. And you know the rest of the story. I won't read beyond this because of We're trying to save space, all right, time. Now, this is where we got it from, that life basically has two stages. The first stage is that phase of take this, occupy, be occupied. That's why I've been reading it. Be occupied with this until I come. I said that first stage, therefore, I call it the first stage of occupation, in which God, I like the word occupation because it helps us know that in life you must have something that you are doing that you call your own. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, I said before, that what God says to us is that we should cultivate what? Faithfulness. You must, this is what you should go for in life. I said, a good name is better than silver and gold. You must never forget it. I was in a way, we were teaching at a leadership retreat. And these are one of the things I explained to them about being not, that is not being conformed with this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. I said, when you ask a typical person, why do you do business? He says, to make money. All right? That's the normal human response. Why are you doing business? To make money. I said, but that is not Christian. That is not godly. You have to remove that from your mind and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have a new perspective to things. And I gave a number of examples of the reasons why Christians do business. Number one is to acquire a good name. Yes, money is very far down. I'm serious about that. Money is very far down. The first thing is acquire a good name. People should be remembering you not for the amount of money you are making, but for the fact that when they had problems, it was you they went to in that particular area. And I said, therefore, what we are going for is to have something in the minds of people that when they have issues in that area, your name pops up in their head. It is not about making money. It is that people remember you for something. You are getting what I'm trying to explain there. It's very important we understand it. You see, if you have that right perspective, when you are doing things, there's a way you will structure. You know, you would rather lose money, which is a matter of fact, all right, than lose a good name. Because a good name is more crucial, is more vital than money. That is what the Bible says. So when we're doing business, what are we doing? Acquiring a good name. That's number one, all right? And then, of course, you get that good name, not only for helping people, but for being faithful, for being trustworthy, for being honest. These are the things. But beyond the good name, of course, that is, after that, you want to really physically be of service. You want to be able to help people. These are the reasons why you do business. That's why I'm going off the main thing I'm not going to say now, but to help people. If you want to do any business, ask yourself, what is it that is not well satisfied? That is, which word do I want to use? What need is that is not well met? Yes, around you. I always tell people, you want to open a shop? There are many shops. There are many shops. In fact, if you want to see, you want to do a business, and you know that many people are already doing it, go and pray seriously and ask God, what is it that I can do that people are not already doing? All right? That is what I mean is this. If I'm in a particular area and that thing is not in that area, then that's an issue. That, okay, this area is not covered. If it's, I'm in an area where everything is well covered, don't just bother going into that business until you have found out something that is defective in what other people are doing and you want to fill in that gap. Otherwise, you're just queuing up to be a mediocre also. You hear the story of course, you know the story now. It's been in the news. I don't know. Some people don't know these kind of things here. WhatsApp, you know, WhatsApp. WhatsApp was sold to Facebook, and Facebook paid $19 billion, different arrangements to come up with that sum, all right? Now, the interesting part is that why did these people start WhatsApp? It is because they said, one of the guys said, I want a messaging system. All right? That's very easy to use, and they don't harass your life with adverts. That nobody wants to wake up in the morning reading adverts, adverts, adverts. And that's it. That was all, he said. And he developed it and spent exactly $0. Not 1 cent did he spend on advertising. As of today. There were many messaging systems all over the place before they came online. They just said, listen, let's do something that is different. One, it has to be cross-platform. If you are using a Nokia, or using a BlackBerry, or using an Android, or using an Apple, all right, an iPhone, you should be able to talk to each other. These were things that a lot of people didn't bother thinking about. And he said, listen, I don't want your life harassed with adverts. So that's why you've been using WhatsApp for some time, you don't get adverts on it. Just by the way, to interest some people. Both of them went to look for a job in both Facebook and it's Instagram, one of the other companies. And they didn't employ them. That was just about 5 years ago. The same company that said they said to employ us is now paying $19 billion. I just feel like talking about that a bit. The people that sponsored the venture capitalists that bankrolled the whole deal spent a total of $60 million and they are making $3 billion in 5 years. Do the arithmetic. You don't look like you can do this. Either you are too confused or... Yes. They gave them in 3 installments $60 million. And they are making $3 billion. And that's in less than 5 years. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.
Let me say it again. May God bless you.
Amen.
One brother said to me, he said, okay, I've not been able to walk today. That is when that news broke. He said, I couldn't walk the whole day. All he was doing was reading up the stuff happening, doing calculations and shaking his head. He said, are you sure I'm doing the right work? The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, why did I bring up their issue? All right. It is because when they were starting, they said simply, let's do something people are not doing. All right. Let's make it easy for you to contact your friend. Once you have his phone number, you are able to contact him without paying a dime in SMS charges. And in just 5 years, they have 450 million users on a monthly basis in just 5 years. They said, on the average, in the last 1 year, they were adding 1 million new users every day. Never spent a dime advertising to anybody. I hope they can think straight this week, because when you're suddenly a billionaire, it's not there to be able to think straight. I hope somebody's praying for them. Anyway, they are not small boys anyway. They used to work in Yahoo, all right? And what they didn't like about working the way Yahoo thinks, well, Yahoo Messenger and all of that, is too much adverts. I said the thing really, really gets on users' nerves. So they created something in which the users would not be harassed with advertisements. Why did I tell this story? To let you know that in life, you want to do something, ask yourself, what is it that I can add to people? Not how can I milk them? What can I do to collect from them? If you see something everybody is doing and they have enough, you know, I told you once, when somebody was telling me that, why don't I start a church? A friend of mine said that, but there are many churches now, they should go somewhere else. I don't know whether you get the point. That look, that what you are doing right now, yeah, he said, you are the only one I know that's doing it. So leave it like that. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Ask yourself, what is it? There must be a specific reason why you are doing what you are doing. There must be. That is, what is it that people are going to get? All right, sorry, what is it that people are going to get from me? Yes, that's what I want to say. Yet they are not currently getting from somebody. Is it that, yes, somebody else is doing, but the person is too far away? Or the number of people doing it are not enough? Are you getting my point? We need to fill in some gap. There must be something that you are filling it as a gap. I went to that trying to remind us of something I said before. Because we're talking about season of fruitfulness. All right? Season of fruitfulness. These are things that we must, you know, we are building a structure, I said, on the earth that the blessing that we have in the heavens can come and rest in. When God wants to bless you, that's what he will do. He will demand, he said, a body that has prepared for me. That is, that blessing must have a body to enter into when it's coming to the earth. You are getting what I'm saying? Yes, that must have a body. It's not just that, yeah, I've been blessed. And the blessing is there, yes. He said, okay, where do I rest? Where will I come into? I said to us then that no matter how much Jesus was supposed to come, that God had determined that Jesus will come. He will come and be a blessing to you and to me. But before he could come, they have to talk to Mary and explain to her, it is important you cooperate so that the salvation of God may come to mankind. Because something, he was instrumental in the preparation of the body that blessing will enter into. So I'm emphasizing again, our season of occupation, all right? What are we doing? We are ensuring that, listen, there is something, I was saying that earlier, there is a name that you are known by in the minds of people. If I need something, why should they think of me? All right? If they need something, I meant to say, why should they think of me? Why shouldn't they think of somebody else? And what is it about me that people think about? Listen, if there is nothing, let me say it again, that people think about when they remember you, all right? Or something that they will need and your name will come to their mind, you're not ready for breakthrough yet. Did you get what I said? I hope you are getting the point. That is the key to blessing. No matter how small it appears, but your name must come to somebody's mind when he needs something. I told you, we're just coming back from Ori. Very interesting. I kept on telling people that I've never seen a set of human beings like you people. That is, I was very, very blessed going to go and preach there. What was it? I said, the man came to see me. The man who organized the program. He's an Anglican minister, all right? He said to me simply, which one? Choose one. Will you come to Owerri or we should come to Enugu? That whichever one I choose, the same thing. This weekend, if I wanted them to come to Enugu, they will come. That they will put themselves in buses, come and arrange where they will stay in Enugu, hire somewhere, that if I think coming to Owerri will be too difficult. I said, no, I think it's easier, since most of them are from that Owerri axis. I said, it's easier for me to come to Owerri. But I was very, very impressed by that, because the man said, you just have to come and teach us. I was there listening to him, you know, occasionally I hear him talking to people. Say, in fact, he told me that before, that he told people that, listen, when they say, sir, where are your messages? He said, why do you want my messages? Go and download Pastor Banky's messages. That's what he used to tell the people. I was not telling him that no, no, because he preaches also, and he preaches good word, sound word. Now, why am I telling this story? Because he said he wanted something. So he came all the way to Enugu to ensure he met me, came another time, and now said to me simply, there is something we want to learn. If you're not willing to come down to our town, no problem. We will come and meet you here. So, you know, when he said that, I expected that maybe there are a few people, you know, a handful of people. So when these guys were packing materials, I said, just okay, well, just a few materials. To my surprise, the hall we used was small, but the thing was jam-packed every session. They always, that is, in fact, yesterday I asked my place, are you willing for people to sit behind you? That is, there was nowhere to sit again. Oh, I said, so these are the people that wanted to come all the way to Enugu. I don't know why you are following what I'm going to explain. That is, in their minds, oh, we want to learn this thing, there's a name that comes to mind. And that is why, for me, I think I must work harder to get, you know, in quotes now, a better name to ensure that every time somebody listens to me, his or her problems, all right, they are solved by the entrance of the Word of God. So that any time you want to think of who do I listen to, yes, your mind instantly goes to kwm.com.ng. Let me go and download some materials. This applies not only to preachers. Please, let me emphasize again. It's to everybody. You've noticed that if you ever got involved in it, skilled workmen in town here at least, all right? They are always very busy. All this one you see in the morning, sit down at Obomanu there and be telling stories. Don't hire them. You know why they are sitting down? They can't walk. Bishop, am I telling you this? No, he's an architect. He knows what I'm saying. He's involved in these things. But then you're sitting there in the morning. Every morning you're sitting down there waiting for somebody to come. It's obvious you are not skilled. It's obvious. Those who really are skilled know their work. No, they don't even have time to hang around such places. Because before they finish the one they are doing now, people are already calling them. Who can do this roof for me properly? Everybody's giving you somebody's name. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what I call occupation. Occupation is not a big job. It's not a high-paying job. That's not what we're talking about. It's something you do very well that anytime somebody needs something, your name comes to his mind. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be something that you went to university, studied to go to PhD, before you were able to do it. If that's what it takes, fine. Are you getting what I'm saying? If that's what it takes, good. There are things that you will not be able to do unless you have some of those qualifications. Possibly, they exist, I know. All right? But it's not only that. There are things that people need every day. And they just need somebody good and honest. Two of them go together. I hope you understand that. Yes, they go together. So that anytime they need it, somebody's name comes to their mind. That is what I'm calling an occupation, no matter how trivial it is. Even if it is, okay, who will MC this my wedding? Who will MC this my birthday party? Our church is doing a program. Which MC do we call? So that's the point I'm going over it again. But that's the point we have made before, all right, and I'm making again. And this is what you must pursue, all right, as a child of God. I said Christians have a different mindset towards life. What you are doing in life is not primarily about getting money. That's not the primary thing. That is the... It's not secondary. It's tertiary. You know, maybe somewhere down the line. Yeah, it's there. I mean, it has to... It's good that he earns you your wages. It's important. It's good. But that's not the primary thing. That is not the primary thing. All right? So we said that first season... All right? Let's not forget it. In that first season, you are busy. You are occupied. What did I say?
Occupied.
That's the point. You are occupied. You are not idle. Listen, you are not... There's no... Oh God, I'm back to it again. I'm trying to get somewhere, but let me just keep talking. There is no excuse in life for somebody to say, I am not employed. There's no reason. There is no reason. I know CBN is not employing you because they just sacked the former CBN governor. I know. Yes, you understand? Yes, I know that civil service said no. We put an embargo on employment. I know that MTN said, all right, we don't want new engineers because we are contracting out our engineering services to Ericsson. I know. But I am saying, despite the fact that these people are not employing, you have no excuse to be idle. If you are idle, then you need this message I'm preaching. What is the message? Go back home and ask yourself, what can I do to bless somebody, and I can do that and be occupied by it. That's it. There is no excuse. I preached this already long ago. I said, what's a job? A job is the opportunity that God gives you to be a blessing to somebody's life. That's what it is. A job is not described by the amount of pay involved. It's the opportunity that God gives you to be a blessing to somebody's life. Let me tell you something. You know, oh God, I will try and move on from here, but I think I'll be able to help a lot of people just explaining these things. If it gets to a point in which you are skilled in an area, nobody's willing to employ you and pay you a salary, go and meet somebody that's not willing to pay. Say, let me just be helping you. That is, for me, it is better for me to be here helping you out than sitting at home doing nothing. Both of them won't earn money. You understand my point? If I'm at home doing nothing, I won't earn anything. If I'm here doing something, I may not earn anything, but at least I'm earning a good name. I'm getting this reputation that I'm reliable and I'm skilled. And the Bible makes something clear. It said, let each exercise his gift accordingly. So I'm exercising, all right, my grace, my gift. Therefore, I'm getting better in what I am doing. If you remember, that is not primarily about what I'm earning as income. Then you know that definitely you are employed. You are occupied. Listen, you must fight idleness as if it's a disease. Fight idleness as if it's what? A disease. And there is some, no, that is actually a disease. Let me give you an idea. In the job market, if you leave school in 2000 and you finish NY 2012, and for 5 years you don't do anything, you're almost sure you'll never get a job again. Oh, some people did not know that. The longer you are out not working, the less likely you will be employed by anybody. Your best chances of employment is immediately after you start looking for the job. Every year is reducing by 5%, you know, 5%. Now, don't believe the 5%, but you get the idea. You get my point? It may be 10%. You know, that might 5% may even be small. It may be 1%. But one thing is that every year, it becomes more difficult. What worries them is... 2000 and, let's take 2006. It's 2006 till now. You haven't done anything. And you say, no, I've been looking for work. Forget, they won't employ you. They will not employ you. They will not employ you. It is better, are you getting my point? That you say, well, what are you doing? I was working for this particular charity group. I was their director of, the coordinator of distribution of used clothes, food, and, you understand my point? I did that for 1 year. After that, I moved to this place. All right? What was that place? It is a local government council in charge of this. That is, get yourself somewhere, even if somebody won't put you there by himself. In the jobs market, that is better. Listen, you can't give an empty CV. 6 years. No, 7th year. You need God to speak to someone. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not saying it's impossible. You get my point? That's why I said that percentage, it keeps dropping. And if you have not worked for 20 years, even God won't get you a job. Even God will not bother. He won't just bother. He won't just bother. Say, what's wrong with this, my guy? He doesn't want to do anything. All right? They keep waiting, and this is the mistake people make. They say, waiting for the big one. The big one. Let me just say something to you again. All right? So that you know, I'm not preaching to average people. If you want to be average in your life, say amen. If you're an average person that God made, you just coast through life, you marry, you have two or three children, they will go to school and all of that, then one day you will die, and then that's the end of it. Say amen. Nobody say amen. I said you will marry now, have children. Is that not good? But yeah, you're not going to say amen. Now, if I'm speaking to somebody, all right, who God created to be distinct in life, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I said something in the way when I was preaching yesterday. I said God sends each one of his children into an area of life to be a king and a lord in that area. But that many times they enter the place as slaves. Did you hear what I said? Joseph was a king that God made, a lord in Egypt. How did he arrive there? He was kidnapped and sold. He got there as a slave. Do you know all the people that were not kidnapped and were not sold as slaves never became anything like Joseph? Please, I hope what I'm saying, I hope it's entering your heart. Joseph was going to be ruler in Egypt. He arrived as a slave. He wasn't saying, my mates are better than this. Oh boy, whether your mates are better than this doesn't matter. Look, listen. You are going somewhere your mates are not going to. And this is a path that God has chosen to take you to the place where you are supposed to get to. Faithfulness. Remember what we said? Dwell in the land and cultivate what? I didn't hear you. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. It was that faithfulness. You know, it's the same story we have heard again and again, but the lesson must never be lost. This fellow was a slave in the house of Potiphar. He was so faithful to Potiphar that the Bible testifies that Potiphar did not concern himself with anything more than the food that he ate. That is the only time Potiphar will speak in that house. Why is the meat not complete? I don't know whether you get what I say. Dad, look, you know I'm watching my weight. Why are they serving me this big? Ah, Joseph, what's going on now? I say, I'm watching my weight. I want fruits and vegetables. Hallelujah, diet. That's the only time the man used to speak. Now, let me tell you what I'm trying to say. When Potiphar's trucks will come back with his goods, he did not know. The only person that knew was Joseph. How many trucks moved? How much did they sell? It was only Joseph that knew. Potiphar didn't care. Not because he was a careless person, but because that was the extent of faithfulness that Joseph demonstrated in that house. Listen, it is the same attitude that carried him to becoming a ruler in Egypt. I'm not going to say much more than that. It's the same attitude. That's why I started by saying that if you want an average life, you get promoted here and there, one day you become a DG, you know, stuff like that. Fine. No, look, there are pathways like that in life. But if really in life, you are going to be distinctive, that's what I'm talking about. It means, therefore, if you enter into a place as a slave, it does not in any way reduce the fact that God has made you to be a king and a lord. What you must understand is that when they call Jesus Christ King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they don't mean he's the king of the kings of Uganda, Nigeria, England, Scotland, you know, Belgium. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that his people, you and me, are kings. That's what he's saying. So when he says he's the king of kings, that's what he's talking about. And there are many fields, many aspects in life in which you and I are supposed to reign over, but I'm emphasizing the fact that many of those places you will enter into them as a slave. Therefore, you see why a lot of people don't take jobs? Because it's like a job of a slave. Because I'm a king. I'm the son of a king. I don't do things like this. You know, sometimes if you don't understand the scriptures well, the Bible says that Peter was speaking about the writings of Paul. He said many people twist them to their own destruction. Many of us hearing that we are king's kids, you know, we heard, I don't know whether you've learned those kind of things. I'm the child of a king. So we may say, I know they sweep gutter.
No. It might be that because every prince has to be trained. I told us before, you see, you go to England, what's the name of the one that's the son of Charles? Williams, Andrew, all of them, they have to enter the armed forces. It's the law. You have to go and serve in the armed forces. The other day we were watching on TV, Andrew was on a particular this thing in Afghanistan. He was manning a machine gun in Afghanistan. When the press broke the news, they had to remove him from there because he was supposed to just go like a normal person. Patrol in Afghanistan, step on a mine in Afghanistan. I don't know whether you get my point. That's the risk. He will be in a helicopter that may crash. But if he's going to be king, that's how it used to be. You had to look, go and read your scriptures. You don't find they are very the only king that used to sit in the palace of Solomon. Go and read all the kings in Israel. That's the only guy that used to sit in the palace. Writing songs and poems and words of wisdom. All the other ones were warriors. And you know, I'm not angry with you. I'm just explaining something to my people, you know. It was God that gave him that one anyway, because you know, when God said, "What should I do for you?" And he asked for wisdom, God said, "I will give you even the life of your enemy." So nobody was strong enough to be an enemy to Solomon. So that's why Bros didn't fight. Alright? It's not because he didn't want to fight. It's more of because he asked for wisdom, God ensured that no enemy could stand. Alright? Now I'm gonna emphasize the fact that being a king, alright, it's not just that you go around, raise your shoulders, I'm a king. No. It means you know where you are going and you are ready to do anything. Because you don't feel inferior. You know, inferiority complex is people's problems. When a man is soaking Gary, he feels inferior, so he's hiding that he's soaking Gary. When I soak Gary, I soak it under the, you know, under floodlight. One day my wife said, "I should stop carrying my Gary to the office." I had to stop. I said, "Look, listen, I'm the boss. Nobody thinks it's poverty." He said, no, this is not right. I like that thing. No, sprinkle groundnut with it, a little bit of sugar. I took to the office a few times. My wife protested. "See, what kind of thing is this one now?" I said, "What does it matter? I'm the boss." Everybody understands that OEC is soaking Gary. They will call, it will encourage them. So you see, the soaking of Gary, how you think of it is in your mind. It's not in reality. It's true. It's in your mind. When you have an inferiority complex, you think it's because you are poor. So it's, you think you are, you know, it's, if it's in your mind, you now think that it's because I'm poor, people will think I'm, I mean, you know, for me, it doesn't concern me. That is not my problem. You know, just because Okadas have been banned in Enugu, if I want to rush home and I call an Okada, you know, one day I took a Kekena Pep. I chartered the Kekena Pep, you know, I went to my mechanic, dropped my car. In fact, that man had known, he would have charged me a lot of money. I didn't know how much he paid. Once that, okay, just carry me down, how much? Don't carry anybody else, don't leave me, I have no problem. The guy was very happy. If I were him, I would have just said, okay, I'm not a bad person, child. I shouldn't say that. But if he had known that he didn't know, probably would have just said, okay, from here to his, I wouldn't have even batted an eyelid. No, I would have just said, okay, 200 naira, okay, take. The guy would have said, merci, mugu. But, you know, I didn't feel any, the breeze, I enjoyed the breeze that day. It had been a while since I saw that degree of breeze, you know? The guy was just driving only me. I didn't feel like this is my God, you will lift me out of here. I'm already out of there. So I felt nothing. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I felt nothing. I remember one day, that was the first day I went to listen to Pastor Poju in Lagos. The message is here. The inheritance inside the new man. Many of you who are listening to it, you won't get the whole thing because that day he spoke for 2 hours, 20 minutes. What we have is just 1 hour, 30 minutes. All right? So the latter part of the message was not recorded. I remember that day very well. I went to church wearing white. I was wearing white, you know, native my material. So, and it rained. So I was going jeje, you know, walking carefully so nothing will splash. When the man finished preaching and I understood that God had made me something that I'm going to become, that's not what I am right now, it is what God has made me to be. When I was leaving the church, I saw the worker. When I was leaving service, splash, what is your problem? Splash, this is your opportunity to splash. You won't have this for a long time. I didn't care that the mud stained my white clothes. Why? Because the word had entered into me. What am I trying to say? No matter the job you are doing, I have the mindset that you are a king. So you shouldn't feel inferior about it. One day we were talking with a brother. I overheard them that day. I was grieved. In fact, I preached, I think, the day after that in our convention. And I couldn't end my message because I was so grieved, I started shedding tears. Because I overheard somebody saying, "Oh, so where do you work now?" He said, "I don't have a job yet." I'm sure he has repented. I'm just want to teach. All right? He said, "I don't have a job yet." And I said, "I'm just managing one school somewhere." Ah, I was angry. They give you a class of children and you say it's not a job, it's management. How can you be handling people's destinies and tell me, you know, I'm just managing? Your heart will not be there. Do you have a job? Yes. What? I teach in this particular school. Period. That's it. It's nothing. There's no... It doesn't mean you won't go to university tomorrow. Yes. It does not in any way mean you will not own a university tomorrow. Is it because you sat amongst MTN staff? You understand my point? You know, Airtel staff, people who are working in oil companies, you're now feeling inferior. Listen, the place where you are going to reign, let me tell you again, many of those places you will arrive as a slave. You will labor. You will get there and you will labor. But remember, the watchword is faithfulness. What did I call it? Faithfulness. What did I call it? Faithfulness. I said this last time, let me say it again. Because, you know, we're looking at those two stages again, I'm amplifying it. Because a day will come, I ended last time on this particular note, that one day the Lord will come. One day the Lord will come. What do we mean when we say the Lord will come? Then the very thing that he ordained for Joseph to be, one day, Pharaoh will send for him and Pharaoh will put him in that particular place. Actually, that's the message I wanted to preach today. Just I'm trying to, you know, recapitulate. I've thrown more light on things. Don't ever forget it. Life has two stages. It's our season of fruitfulness. I said something last time. You will be busy with your occupation until it comes. He said, occupy with this for a small time. Was that what he said? Was that what he said? Occupy with this until you have made enough money. Occupy with this until you feel satisfied that you have tried. What did he say? Occupy with this until I come. You know, I was telling you earlier about this story of WhatsApp. One day you're an average person, running a very good business. Next day you're a billionaire. Then you will know the Lord has come. Indeed, you will know the Lord has come. I told the story last time, just to remind us of it again. My friend who runs a free clinic, his own is a free clinic. Last time I saw him, he said, "I've entered into my rest." What was he saying? The Lord has come. He was busy and busy until one day, some people came and said, wait, move away from here. Let's build you a new hospital. They actually wanted to give him the money. He said, "It does not take money. It's okay, you shift." And they spent 100 million naira to erect that place for him and equip it completely. Then I saw him, he said, "Oh boy, I've entered into my rest." That he knew the Lord had come. You know, I sent him a mail a few days ago. I wanted him to come to our alumni fellowship, you know, and share his experience with us and used to encourage the brethren, the people of God. And they said, "Oh, he's sorry. He's at that same weekend. He's attending a conference, you know, somewhere in the U.S. And this brother has been jetting all over the place. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Conference there, conference there. Oh, he's so sorry." So he forwarded my mail to his international director. So that one has sent me a mail and said, "Okay, they apologize on his behalf, you know, stuff like that." I said, "Ha! The Lord has come." In fact, because of this retreat I went to, I have not replied that particular person's mail. I must reply today, and you know, because she starts wondering that, why are these Nigerians like this? Because now when you put person, sent me a mail. Just explaining that, okay, I can get the materials from here and all of that. But the point I'm making is that one day the Lord came. He was occupied. until the Lord did what? Came. I'm emphasizing to us again today, the Lord will what? Come. Now listen, there's one scripture I want us to read. Mark chapter 4. The book of Mark chapter 4. Let's look at what the kingdom of God is like. Alright, verse 26. And he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. Said the soil produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Let me read this in the Amplified Bible. There's something I want to bring out from there, in the Amplified. It says from verse, I just want to read one verse here. Verse 27. Of course, from 26, let's just say from 26. The kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground. Now notice verse 27. And then continues sleeping and rising night and day, while the seed sprouts and grows and increases. Now, there's a reason why I read that Amplifying Rhetoric. Because I want to bring out this word, continues. He continues sleeping and rising, night and day. I said something earlier, that one of the things you would do for your life is to give your life its own routine. I don't know whether you get my point. In this occupation thing, all right? Whatever you do in life, try and have a kind of routine. How do I explain routine now? Which word do I use? Okay, let me use myself as an example. We just came back from Owerri. I haven't preached from Thursday till this morning, all right? Now, but whether I go to Owerri or not, every Saturday I'm here preaching. I don't know whether I get the point. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? You're doing business. It's not every day you find big business. There is something you do. It is small, but it's regular. It's continuous. I don't know whether you are getting that thing. You understand? All right? A lot of lazy people. You know what they do? Lazy people. The word is what? Lazy people. They only work when the thing is big. That's the only time. That is, you know, I said that earlier. Fight idleness as if it's a disease. If you, maybe you are taking jobs, contracts, and stuff like that, they give you a particular contract. Once you will break even, and there's nothing else, take it. Did you hear what I said? Just take it. Say, well, there's nothing on top of it. Don't worry. Take it. It is better than doing nothing during that period. The day the Lord will come, listen, these WhatsApp people I'm using as an example, I hope you know the same work they did last week that they are still doing this week. The only difference is that last week a normal man did the work, this week a billionaire is doing it. I don't know what I'm trying to say. That is, the office hasn't changed. The private jet may have changed now. It may have been from a private car. It's not a private plane. I don't know. But that private plane is still flying that fellow to the same office. What am I trying to say? The man established a routine in what he was doing. And then a day came that the Lord changed the thing that he was doing as a small thing and made him a very big man. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. Now listen, let them just emphasize this here. In that Mark chapter 4, he said in verse 29, he said, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because he knows that the harvest has come. What does it mean for the crop to permit? It's very simple. It simply means that the things that he did before, all right, and got little results, now he puts in little energy inside it and it gets great results. It's not a supernatural discernment that will let him know the crop has permitted. Are you getting my point? How you will know the crop has permitted is that the very same thing you were doing before, the same things you were doing this time around, they produce abundant results. My emphasis is that just keep on doing those same things, whether they produce abundant results or not. But as a matter of fact, a day will come that they will produce abundant results. One of the things that's missing in some of the gospel of prosperity we preach is that we do emphasize this part. A man sits at home, crosses his leg, and he says, I believe breakthrough is coming. Breakthrough can't come like that. The only thing that happens like that is what? Breakdown. That's the only thing that happens like that. It is the only thing that happens like that. Breakdown. Listen, you know, I've not gotten to the thing I want. You know, we read Jeremiah chapter 8. What I actually wanted to read, maybe it's a good time to get in there, all right? I wanted to explain to the people of God I know what I want to say. I'm looking for words to use to say it. I want to explain to the people of God, all right? Yes. Let me put it like this. Do whatever you have to do. Make your life a routine. Cultivate righteousness, you understand? Pursue faithfulness. But know for sure that help is coming. That's what I want to say. Yeah, that's what I want to say. That's actually what I want to bring out. What did I say? Help is coming. What do I mean by help is coming? You know what Mike Murdock said? Mike Murdock said, how did he say it again? What did he say? Okay, now I remember I said. He said, when God wants to bless you, he sends somebody into your life. Yes, that's what Mike Murdock said. And he said, of course, the same way, when the devil wants to destroy you, he also sends somebody into your life. Because destruction is not your portion in Jesus' name. And every destructive agent that wants to come into your life will fall into the gutter before they meet you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They won't meet you, amen?
Amen?
You won't believe them, amen?
Amen?
They will not entice you, amen?
Amen.
So we are not emphasizing on the destructive people, agents. We are emphasizing on the agents of progress that God will send into your life. All right, the Lord is good. So, like I said to you, what I'm going to emphasize, you know, because, you know, when we say somebody is blessed, I said to you before that the colloquial expression for the word blessed, it means the fellow is lucky. Yeah, let me explain it again. That if you say somebody is blessed, what you find out, this is how it manifests physically. That fellow is just lucky. That's the manifestation of blessing. The fact that somebody is lucky, that's how it manifests. And I want to explain something to you today, all right, in your season of fruitfulness, all right? That you will be lucky.
Amen.
I don't think it's just luck. I want you to recognize that it is a positive force called a blessing. That is what is coming into your life. And 2014, you will begin to experience it.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to emphasize. Now, we read something earlier. Let's just go back there. You now see why I read it. The book of Jeremiah chapter 8. God was explaining something to them. He was describing the kind of land that was bringing them into verse 7. He said, for the Lord is bringing you into a good land. Everybody say, good land.
Good land.
A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills. A land that will easily produce wheat and barley. I'm qualifying it now. Vines, fig trees, and pomegranates. A land where you will eat food without scarcity. A land in which, he said, in whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Now, okay, yeah, that's what I wanted to read. Now, somewhere else, he was contrasting this land with that of Egypt. In Egypt, the people had to irrigate the land by themselves. He said, this land is a land that drinks waters of the rain of heaven. Let me explain something. This is what I want to just explain, and I close. Now, God uses men. God will use people to connect you to where he wants you to get to once he has proven you faithful where you are right now. For Joseph to become the ruler, the prince that God made him in Egypt, he met a man in prison. Did you hear what I said? Yes, he met a man in prison. But I want you to understand something. He initially tried to ask the man to help him, and God said, no, that's not the order. You are not going to lobby for this thing. Just use your faithfulness to impress this man and leave the matter there. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Just use your faith. It's not as if you're trying to impress the man, you're just being yourself. Because many people that God will send to help you, you will not even know that they are going to have that kind of connection.
I want to just explain that. I explain it, how your life is going to be. All right? And then we'll close. God always... Now, why did I read that? The fact that this land produces water by itself. It is not the effort of these people that will produce water. It's a land of springs. It's a land of fountains. It's a land of hills and valleys. That is, water runs when rain falls. It channels to the way it's going to be a blessing to them. Not by their own effort. Let me tell you something. I'll give it to you practically. You need help. You need an investor. You need connection. And you go and visit a man 3 times. He says, come back tomorrow. Don't go back again. I forbid you in the name of Jesus. Don't go back again. Maybe you should see me tomorrow. Once you hear that 3 times, just say, arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest. Are you following the point I'm making?
Yes,
just say to yourself simply, arise and depart. This is not the place of your rest. I want you to know, note it very well. When that minister that was with Joseph in prison, when Joseph explained his wahala to him, and the man said, don't worry, when things come out the way you said, we will help you. You know, the man forgot. What am I trying to say? Now I'm prophesying and explaining, both of them side by side. Only the people that God commanded will remember you.
Amen.
You don't want somebody to be a troublesome trouble on your head. Let me say to you again, it's only in the due season and the people that God commanded, they are the ones that will remember you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will use people to lift you from where you are right now, all right, into the place where you are supposed to be.
Amen.
But remember, you are not the one scheming it. Not you meet an important person, you're going to begin carrying bag because you are looking for favor. The only thing that God will use to connect you with important people is your faithfulness.
Yes.
Not your eye service.
Yes.
Not your boot licking. Do you understand my point?
Yes.
Not your psycho fancy. It is simply because of your what? Faithfulness. He says, seest thou a man that is skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. That is what we make them. Look, when that fellow brought Joseph out and said, come and meet Pharaoh, it wasn't because Joseph was nice to him. He wasn't trying to reward Joseph. He was trying to help Pharaoh. I don't know whether you noticed that. He wasn't trying to help reward Joseph. He was trying to help Pharaoh. Listen, let me say this is very important. May you be an asset everywhere you go in your life.
Amen.
Let me say it again. You will be an asset everywhere you go in your life.
Amen.
Nobody will look down on you with pity. That's not the sign of wealth. That's not a sign of promotion. Nobody is going to look down on you with pity. They are going to look up to you in your small state, but they will look up and say, this is the person that we need to help us. And that is how God lifts people up. You think it was because Pharaoh loved Jews? Say, I heard that your father has a promise over his life. Just say, okay, are you the son of Joseph? The son of Jacob? Sorry, you are Joseph, all right. The son of Jacob, grandson of Isaac? My God. Isaac, son of Abraham, with promise. Oh, come and sit down here. And I wasn't thinking of all of that. He said, oh boy, I hear that you are the one that can solve this crisis. We hear that you are the one that can help us to decode this dream. He said, well, it is a gift of God, sir. All right, go ahead. Let me tell you the dream. The fellow narrated the dream. Joseph brought forth the interpretation and then by skillful wisdom told them what to do. The man said, well, if you are the one that can decode this level 1 and level 2, level 3 you should be in your hand also. Come and execute that which you have proposed as a result of the dream that you decoded. Joseph was never a liability to Pharaoh. The same way he was a blessing to Potiphar, is that same way he became a blessing to Pharaoh. You will go somewhere great in life because you are a blessing to people.
Amen.
Listen, stop hanging around waiting for somebody to just dash you money. That's an expensive job. You know what I call an expensive job? That is heavy paying job, expensive contract, something you make plenty money from. No. You are not a liability.
Amen.
you're not a taker, you're a giver. Yes. Even when you are receiving reward for your labor, you are still a giver.
Yes.
That these people will pay you, at the end of the day, they are still not the same, my God, this guy is good. They pay you plenty of money, and they are still happy that somebody brought you into their lives. I'm trying to emphasize, all right, that this is how God has ordained the season of fruitfulness to be for you. You're a lucky person.
Amen.
In the season, remember two seasons. One, occupation. Don't read which we demonstrate what? Faithfulness. We demonstrate skill. We demonstrate honesty, integrity, righteousness. And we just leave it there. We're not doing more than that. We're not doing more than that. In the midst of our trouble, we're not doing more than that. The place where we are going to rule, we entered that place as a slave. We're not going to do more than that. We're just going to do what we are supposed to do with the skill that God has poured into our hearts by His grace. And then one day, I say this, I think I can now close. One day, the help will come. I want you to understand me well and believe it and say the amen. One day, the help will come.
Amen.
Remember, nobody succeeds by his or her own effort. Some people say that, okay, this man knows people. Let me say to you again, you know God.
Yes.
What did I say? What did I say? And God is not just an imaginary thing just to make ourselves happy. Actually, He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and a man of my purpose from a distant country. Listen, the fellow of God's purpose is coming into your life by commandment.
Amen.
Remember, one of the things I learned long ago, I said, blessings are commanded. He said, from there God commanded the blessings. That which is mine will never go into the house of another person. No, it's not a prayer. I'm just explaining. I'm just explaining. I'm not praying. I'm explaining. This is my illustration. My wife bears my name. If I travel, I say, meet me somewhere. I'm staying in this particular hotel. She gets to the wrong room and knocks. And sees a white man there. We say, well, this is the door that I met. So I will now become Mrs. White Man. No, think about it. Is it going to happen?
No.
Why should you just say that? Oh, I'm sorry. I think I'm wrong number or wrong door. I'm very, very sorry. Now go back to the reception. I thought you said room. Oh, sorry. I thought you said 306. All right. Okay. You said what? 603. I'm very sorry. Then she goes back again until she locates me. Why? She has my name. Your blessing has your name.
Amen.
Listen, let me say it again. Your blessing has your name.
Amen.
When God says, go and help with that. Look, listen, you remember who does Zarephath? You remember who does Zarephath?
Yes.
They said one last offering, and she broke through. I agree with one last offering, not a single offering. I don't know what I heard I said. I agree when you say it's one last offering, and breakthrough came. But I don't believe it's a single offering. What's my reason? My reason is because how did Elijah get to her door in the first place? Elijah wasn't roaming around by accident. Say, tumbo, any widow here? Tumbo, any widow here? No! He was looking for a particular widow. I am saying your help will be looking for you particularly.
Amen.
The person may not know your name, just like Elijah did not know that widow of Zarephath's name. He may not even be a prophet. But God will arrange events so that you will contact the person He has sent to come and lift you up.
Amen.
For that reason, it doesn't matter who you know currently, or who you don't know. It makes no difference. It makes no difference who you are connected to or who you are not connected to. It makes no difference. God will raise His own connection in His own season. That's actually what I came to teach today. Every other thing I was saying before was, preambling, trying to connect. This was what I had in my mind strongly. To let you know that you will have help at the appropriate time. You will, because one of the things that people say, I don't know anybody, there's nowhere to raise money. That kind of thing. Look, listen, you won't have where to raise money. Money will come to you when you need it.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
It's not about begging somebody. Listen, your life, you are going to live it. You know, just this your breakthrough, your business, it will be on your terms. It will be on your terms. It will be on your terms. I said it will be on your terms. I said it will be on your terms. You know, I was thinking about that. What's happening? It struck me that the people who invested all the money got 3 billion out of the 19. I don't know whether you got that. They spent a total of $60 million. Sequoia Capital. That's the name of the venture capital company. $60 million. That's all the money these guys ever spent. When the goodies were to be shared, they are getting $3 billion out of 19. That means it was not on their own terms. It's on the terms of the other fellows. Listen, let me just quickly drop something for you. This is how you know people that God sent to you. Those who are willing to accept your terms. Anybody not willing to accept it, God didn't send him. Anybody that wants to buy your inheritance from you and take the control from you, God did not send the person. That's not your own. Because this one, it will be on your own terms. You will control it. The fellow has come to help you, not to buy from you, not to steal from you. He has come to do what? Help. And if you are helping me with something that's mine, it remains mine even after you have helped. I don't know what I get what I said. Yes, if you are helping, it's still my own. You are not coming to take it away from me. It struck me when I was reading the analysis. I said, oh, you mean Sequoia Capital for all the money they spent in there? All the money. They spent all the money. Of course, they are feeling good. I mean, if you invest 60 million, okay, you invest 60 naira. After 5 years, it is 3,000. That's good business, isn't it? Okay, let's make it look more real. 600,000 naira. After 5 years, it has become 3 million. Eh? 30 million. That's good business, isn't it? Your story will be sweeter.
Amen.
That's all I have to tell you. What did I say? I said your story will be sweeter.
Amen.
I think God allowed this to happen this week because I wanted to preach today. This could have happened next week. But my message for today, I would not have been able to use it as an illustration. It had to happen this week so that I'll use something to show the people of God that these things are real. I said to you, my message for you today is what? Help is coming your way.
Amen.
What did I say? What did I say? What did I say? What did I say?
Help
is coming your way. Let's bow down heads. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you.